chapter 5, verses 24 through 34, and we will read responsively this morning. It's Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard that Jesus came in, she pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging me, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came, fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in thy peace, and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We're thankful. Lord, we just love you today. We love you because you first loved us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you this morning would speak to us through our preacher. We pray that you be with him, bless him, strengthen him, Lord. And be with us. Prepare our hearts to receive from you what we need to hear today. Oh, Father, that you would take our hearts. Lord, you would just write these words that will be preached this morning. And you help, Lord, your Holy Spirit to bring conviction to it. Bring us to the place where you can deal with us. Bring us to the place where you can meet with us, Lord, that we can truly see you work in our lives. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with this sermon now and be with us and just help us through it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to refer back to Luke's account of the same story for just a moment. You can turn back to it if you'd like, Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read some of the same story here real quickly in verse number 42, Luke 8, 42. And my text verse actually comes from this portion of Scripture. For he had only, I'll read 41 as well. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come unto his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" That's the title of my message this morning, "Who touched me?" "When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" "Who touched me?" is the title of my message. I got just thinking a little bit this week. It's amazing the calls that any preacher gets, of needs of our people. Every time I look out in our congregation this morning, I can look everywhere and see that there's a need. It's a family with a need. There's a heartache. There's a health issue. There's a struggle. There's disappointment. There's a need everywhere I look here this morning. I know that there is. Maybe you're kind of in on the mountaintop right now, but maybe deep down inside as well, there's something there that you're uncertain about. Maybe you're just not sure about your job. Maybe you're unsure with the rest of the world about the economy and so forth. And tonight, this morning rather, I want to try to help you a little bit about your needs and try to teach you on how not to be casual with the needs that we have. Let's just follow along here. Jesus was on his way course, to a little 12-year-old girl, that's Jairus' daughter, who lay dying at home. And as he was walking, a throng of people came upon him. And in this throng of people, many were there for many reasons, I am sure. Some, I'm sure, were skeptical of this man, Jesus. Some had their own agenda. Some perhaps were curious about Jesus. Some may be doubtful, is he really the man that he says he is? Some were interested. They'd heard about the miracles. They'd heard about his power. They'd heard about the things he had done. And some had needs. Of course, one was this woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. And, of course, that issue of blood is a disease. She was very sick. She was very ill. No doubt the Bible teaches here in Mark that, you know, she had maybe heard of Jesus passing through. And let me just go ahead and read that through a little bit. Thronged him in verse number 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But she heard of Jesus. Somewhere along the way, she heard of Jesus. Maybe she heard that Jesus was going to be passing down her street. I don't know exactly all that went behind that, but the Bible says that she came in to press behind and touched his garment. Somehow she perhaps thought she had a need. She had an issue of blood. She was very ill. She'd gone to every doctor, and no doctor could go ahead and help her. She'd gone to physicians. She'd gone to maybe other people. She tried to receive comfort. She tried to be healed. She had a great need, a physical need. The Bible says that with these doctors, she spent all that she could. She was all out of money. She financially had gone as far as she could go. There was no one, a human being, if you will, that could go ahead and do a thing for her. Others, I think of the people in this throng, others in this throng as well had needs also. I am sure that there were others in this throng. They were as desperate as this woman, not knowing what to do. They were at wit's end. No doubt this woman was at wit's end. She was tired. 12 years she's been sick. 12 years she was sick and tired of feeling this way. She'd gone to doctor after doctor, and nothing seemed to be helping her. And she was probably wondering, not knowing what to do. There was others in this throng. They were skeptical, perhaps. Some were curious. But I'm sure there was others in this throng that had some needs, just like this woman. They had some needs. They were at wit's end. But this woman had put some action forward. She had an action. She was determined to make a difference here. This woman went to Jesus. I believe she had a sense of urgency to get to him. I don't know whether in this throng here, let me use this red mic if I can. I don't know if in this throng of people, testing 1, 2, okay, we're on, amen, we got power. But I don't know if in this throng of people, I don't know how many people were there. The Bible says a throng, probably a good 100 or so. A lot of people were surrounding Jesus. They were interested. They were doubtful. They were skeptical. Many different personalities there, many different circumstances there. No doubt there were people with needs, but they just didn't know what to do. They just thought maybe if they got near Jesus, maybe there'd be a difference. I don't know, but there was a woman there. She had a need. She was sickly. She was weak, if you will. And she says, if only I could get to Jesus, I think everything would be all right. If only I can go ahead and give him my need. If only maybe, the Bible says, if I could just touch his clothes, I think everything would be all right. I don't know how much strength this woman had. I could see her perhaps with all the strength that she could muster, maybe pale, maybe weak, but she says, I'm going to try to get to Jesus in this throng of people, maybe fighting her way through the crowd. And with everything that she had, she was so trying to get to the one who could help her. Trying to change a page here, and it is not working. All right. Amen. Okay. She was desperate. And perhaps she thought only if she could get to Jesus, he can take care of my illness. He can take care of my problem. He could go ahead here this morning. Maybe you're like this certain woman. You've got a need. You've got a heartache. You've got a disappointment. You've got maybe a wayward child. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. I don't know, but you got a heavy heart maybe this morning. Hey, I want to include you along with this woman. You know what? Maybe there are a lot of people surrounding Jesus, so to speak. Maybe you feel like there's no way, but I want to plead with you this morning. Why don't you get to Jesus? Why don't you do everything you can? Maybe later on, bring that burden that you have and bring it to the altar. Why don't you go ahead and reach out and touch the hem of his garment, if you will. There was many here. Many of them bumped into Jesus. They got close to Jesus. They were curious of Jesus, but only one touched him. Only one reached out on purpose to touch him. Only one touched the hem of his garment.
Only one came in need, desiring the need to be filled. No, I'm sure there are other needs, but she had a need. And she knew that if I could only get to Jesus, she knew if I could only touch his clothes. She said, I just wonder if I could just even touch the hem of his garment. I think everything would be all right. One, only one had determination through much anguish, maybe some pain to get to Jesus. I could still see her perhaps trying to fight through the crowd. Jesus, wait for me. I want to talk to you, Jesus. But she made her way to Jesus. This one came up behind him and touched the border of his garment. And all the crowd of people with many different circumstances, only one came. Of all that crowd, only one came and left differently. Only one came to Jesus and she left, not just a little bit differently, she left whole, the Bible says. Only one came and she left differently. Oh, the needs were there. Oh, the skeptics were there. Oh, the uncertain people were there, not sure about this man. Oh, maybe the heavy hearts were there. Maybe, I don't know, Jesus was such an interesting person. They just wanted to be near him. There was a throng of people, and they could have had what this woman had, but they were very casual about their need. They were very casual, perhaps. They just didn't know what to do. They were perhaps at wit's end. They didn't maybe dare to talk to Jesus about their need, but there was a woman had full faith. She had a whole lot of faith. She said, if only I can get to Jesus, I think everything's going to be all right. Let me just stop and say this, ask you this. You got a struggle this morning. You feel like you've gone just as far as you can go. You're looking at a new year and say, boy, I want to hit the ground running. I want to do some new things. I want to get debt free, or I want to see some things change in my life. I got this struggle. I got this sickness. Hey, do you have a need this morning? Don't you run to the world. Don't you run to drugs. Don't you run to alcohol. You know, it's amazing to me the people that go through all these heartaches and all these trials and all the struggles and so forth. What they're doing is they're running to the wrong person. They feel like they never get ahead. They're running to the wrong place. They're running perhaps to the wrong person. And the truth of the matter is, let me just say this, you may be in the lowest valley of your life, and you may think, well, the only way out is going out drinking every night and boozing it up. Hey, let me tell you something, after you come down from that high, the problem will still be there. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's a friend, my friend, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can go ahead and take your need to him anytime, and he'll go ahead and listen to you. You can go ahead and drop your need on him. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That word cast means actually just go ahead and take your care and throw it at him. And you know what? Why? Why does he say, cast your care? Just go ahead and throw it at me. Why? Because he cares for you. Hey, there's only one that you can go ahead and go to that could help bear your need this morning. You know what? Only one touched him. Only one touched the hem of his garment. One came in need, desiring for that need to be filled. One had determination. You know, sometimes you gotta have a little bit of determination and grit to go ahead and overcome that struggle. You know, you may think, you know, I've tried the church way, or I've tried Jesus way and so forth. Hey, you know what? But the thing is, you know what happens? We quit. You know, we feel like, well, you know, it should be a little bit easier. It should be a little bit easier to go ahead and deal with this. It should be a little bit simpler, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Sometimes when we feel like the path is not that easy, we're on our way. We want to go ahead and get to Jesus, so to speak. We try to reach out and so forth. The truth is, he's a lot closer than you think. But just about the time that we're ready to go ahead and turn the corner, just about the time where we feel like we just cannot keep going, we kind of just stop and quit. It's no use. Preacher, it's no use. Nobody understands. I don't even think Jesus understands. Yes, my friend, Jesus does understand your need this morning. Hey, you just can't come casually to him. One came and left differently. One came in need and left healed and helped. There was nothing casual about this encounter. She wanted something and she got it. She was no doubt tired of your illness. You tired of that struggle this morning? You tired of it just kind of running you down? Are you tired of going to the world and trying to go to the world's places and the world's devices to try to go ahead and give you pleasure? You're tired of that? Hey, why don't you just bring it to Jesus this morning? She was broke. This woman was broke financially. She couldn't go any further. She didn't know what else to do. But perhaps hearing the fact that Jesus was passing by, the one that healed many, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, the one who has worked miracles, I think she must have thought, if I can just get to Jesus, maybe he could do a work in my life. This encounter, my friend, was beyond casual. This was a determined encounter with a desire to leave different than she came. She had a desire, no doubt, in her mind. I'm tired of this illness, or I'm tired of this struggle. Put yourself in these shoes. I'm tired of this brokenness. I'm tired of this, whatever the case may be. And you need to be determined to get to the one who can help you so that you can be and leave different. You know, many today are casual in our Christian life. You know, again, this lady wasn't casual. She was determined. There was a lot of people in this throng that they were there, many different circumstances. You know, the Bible says, of course, that when she went ahead and touched the hem of his garment, you know, the Bible says, who touched me? He asked, who touched my clothes? Who touched me in Luke's account? Who touched me? And Peter goes ahead and says, Jesus, there's many, many people around here. They've been bumping into you. There's many people. And you ask, who touched me? No, I know somebody touched me because virtue or power was taken out of me. Of course, the Bible teaches here as well that, you know, and also there's a note here. I got to throw this out at you. In verse number 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. What sayest thou? Who touched me? And he said unto, and he looked around. Jesus looked around to see her that had done this thing. You know, he goes ahead and asks, who touched me? You know, Jesus already knew. Jesus already knew. He looked around to see her. It was, how did he know if it was a him or her? Jesus already knew that someone went ahead and touched him, and it was a her, and who touched me? And of course, this lady came forward and admitted, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She wasn't sure, oh no, is Jesus going to be mad? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? You know, he's looking around for me, you know, and so forth. But she came forward to tell the truth. Let me just say this. You know, it pays to tell the truth. You know, this is just a side note. This is free. All right. But you know what? It just pays to tell the truth. You know, young person, boy, there's a lesson right there. There's a lesson right there. When you get in trouble, you know what? It's always not me, isn't it? It's always not me that did it. So is, I don't know who did it. You know, let me just stop and say this. It doesn't matter who we are, whether you're working on the job, whether you get caught on the job doing something or maybe slacking, whatever the case may be. You know, it always pays to step up and say, I did it. I did it. I mean, look at the result in Jesus' course. He didn't rebuke her. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, this was not a casual encounter. She was determined. And how we need Christians to be determined to reach Jesus again. Let me just stop and say that and explain what I mean there. You know, oftentimes a lot of Christians today, they get tired of the battle, they get weary, whatever, weary in well-doing. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, but sometimes we just get tired. You feel like you take two steps forward and you take about five steps back and you feel like you never progress. And the truth of the matter is, you know, It hurts me as a preacher to see people just quit. It hurts me to see Christians just go ahead and quit church or quit their Christian life or so forth. And by the way, I'm not saying losing your salvation. You're saved. You're once saved. Nobody can ever take that away. Boy, thank God for salvation. Thank God it's a free gift. Nobody, it doesn't matter whether you've blown it. It doesn't matter whether you've maybe looked at something wrong or said something wrong. You know what? If you ask Christ into your heart, you know what? You are saved. He or in the palm of his hand. Nobody can go ahead and pluck you out. But you know, the truth of the matter is we often as Christians can become way too casual in the Christian life. You know what? There was nothing casual about this one woman. She just said, well, you know, if I get to Jesus, then, well, it'll be all right. If I don't, well, I'll just go home and I'll just have to deal with it. No, this lady was determined. You know, we ought to come to church determined that we're going to leave differently. You know, we just kind of casually come to church. It's no wonder why we don't grow. It's no wonder why people will leave the same way they came. They leave with the same need. They leave with the same heartache. They leave with the same problems. They leave no different than when they came. Why would it? Why leave that way? You know, the truth of the matter is, let me just encourage you, Christian. You know, you ought to come to church expecting something. You know, not just casual. Well, I fulfilled my duty. Well, great. If you just come to church and you feel like it's that duty that you got to fulfill, great. I'm glad you're here. But the truth of the matter is, there's a whole lot more to it. You ought to come before you come to church. You ought to get up in the morning and say, okay, God, you feed me. You give me something this morning. It's been a difficult week this morning. I need encouragement. I need some inspiration. I need something this morning. You know what? Instead of just casually coming to church, why don't you decide, hey, God, you give me something this morning. I want to leave different than when I came. I want to leave with a little spring in my step that the preacher talks about all the time. You know, we don't have to leave the same way we came. We don't have to. We don't have to go ahead and be down in the mully grubs. We come in with the mully grubs down and so forth. We don't have to. You know what? We're with God's people. We're on our way to heaven. If you're saved this morning, you know what? You've got a mansion in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, you've got an inheritance in heaven. You're saved this morning. You don't have to leave church the same way you came. You know, it's no wonder why we don't grow. Could it be that we're having so much fun with our pet sin that we just don't want to do away with it? That's why we don't leave changed. We might be having fun in that pet sin. It's that sin that will leave you miserable so much. It'll go ahead and leave you miserable. Is that sin so important? So much more important than God? I had a little typo there. Listen, let me just read this statement. Could it be that some here this morning, there's this little pet sin in your life. There's this little thing in your life that you just don't want to go ahead and give up. I don't want to give it up. I'm going to hold on to it. Whatever it is, you know what it is. I don't know, but you know what. You can put your finger on it. Could it be that there's some pet sin that you just don't want to do away with it? And it's that sin, by the way, that's going to leave you miserable. That sin, if you don't go ahead and deal with it, you know what? God's going to hound you right there with it. He's going to hound you. And by the way, you ought to deal with it because that sin will grow as just like a cancer. And it'll go ahead and overtake you if you're not careful. But the truth of the matter is that sin so much more important than the forgiveness and grace of Almighty God? That one thing that's keeping you from growing, that one thing that kind of keeps you from maybe paying attention fully to the preaching, that one thing that'll keep you from reading the Word of God throughout the week, that one thing, yeah, what is it? What is that one sin that might be keeping you from being what God wants you to be? Hey, let me tell you something. You can play with sin all you want, but sin, when it is finished, the Bible says, bringeth forth death. James chapter 1:15. Go ahead and play with it. Go ahead and play with the sin of immorality. It will go ahead and eat you up. Go ahead and play with the sin of alcohol. It will go ahead and eat you up. Go ahead and play with the sin of drugs. It will go ahead and destroy you. Hey, listen to me. Hey, why don't you just go ahead, whatever it is. And so many people, they have needs. They're wondering, why is it that we have these struggles? They wonder, why is it that I keep on having these needs? It might be that we're running to the wrong source. It might be that we're running to drugs. It might be that we're running to alcohol. And the truth is matters that, as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, when you come down off all that, is that problem, is that need gone? Do you feel any better? No, generally we don't. You know what? Why? Because that need is still there. Boy, you ought to run to the one who can take care of that need. Why is it that we leave church the same way? Is it because of the fear of coming to the altar and giving a burden to Christ? Is it because, well, if I go to the altar, people are going to laugh at you? No, you know what people do here at Faith Baptist Church? When someone comes down and they get saved, when someone comes down and they get right with God, do you know what we do around here? We rejoice. We get excited about that. I get excited. Just last week, there was a man here, didn't know for sure he was on his way to heaven. But let me tell you something. By the time he left church Sunday morning, he knew for sure he had a home in heaven. Someone showed him from the Word of God how he could be saved. And he left here a whole different man. You know what? He left a whole different way than when he came. He came lost. He didn't know for sure he had a home in heaven. But let me tell you something. He came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ right down here on the front row, and he left different. Hey, my friend, you can go ahead and do the same thing. Why is it that we don't come to the altar? Simply because we're afraid to? Why? We're afraid what someone might think. Hey, not here. Don't you be afraid of what someone may think. You know what? If you got to get something right with God, teenager, if you got to get something right with God, church member, you know what? At invitation time, when the music plays, I surrender all. Why don't you literally go ahead and surrender it all to Jesus and lay it out on the altar and reach out to his garment and say, Jesus, make me whole. He'll go ahead and do it. Why is it one will not pray and ask God to move on their heart in the church service? Why is it that many leave just the same old, same old? Why wouldn't one want to come to church and leave refreshed and leave with a spring in one step? Why would not one want to come to church and leave closer to God than when they came? Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to come? You know, I mentioned this. I love this illustration. You know, a lot of us, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, you're kind of working with a dry sponge. What I mean by that is, you know, your life is like a dry sponge right now. You know, a dry sponge is literally useless. You know, it's not fulfilling the purpose for why it was created, a dry sponge. But you know what? When you come to church, you ought to take the sponge of your life and you ought to dip it into the water of life so that you can go ahead and become useful. So that, you know, if I had a dry sponge up here, it'd be useless in trying to clean this pulpit. You know what? You get that sponge dipped in the things of God. You get that sponge dipped in the Word of God. You get that sponge dipped into the preaching and allow God to go ahead and do something. Hey, you can leave here useful. You can leave here different than how you came. Why wouldn't one want to come leave refreshed? Why wouldn't one want to come being closer to God than when they came? Why wouldn't one want to have that burden of sin lifted? Why wouldn't one want to come to know Christ as Savior? Why wouldn't one want to have that gift of salvation? Why wouldn't one not want to ask God to open their heart and plead the Holy Spirit to feed them and strengthen them according to the Word of God during the preaching? Oh, I challenge you this morning, my friend. I challenge you this. Even if you haven't already, you just say a quick prayer right now. God, you feed me this morning. God, I want my sponge filled with water, with the water of the Holy Ghost, with the water of the Word of God. I want my sponge filled so I can be useful. I want to leave church differently than how I came this morning. Why wouldn't you want to leave different this morning? Why just be so casual about church? Well, I came and fulfilled church. Well, great, I'm glad that you're here, but why don't you go ahead and decide this year, I'm going to leave church every service differently. I'm going to leave closer to God than ever. I'm going to leave with the power of God. I'm going to leave being right with God. Why don't you this morning decide that? I challenge you, you open your mouth and you open your heart and you feast on the unsearchable riches of Christ. You ask God to go ahead and do something each and every service this year in your private a devotion time. You ought to ask God to go ahead and do something in your private devotions each and every day. Boy, you ought to get in the Word of God every day, by the way. I challenge you to do that. Boy, I challenge you to come to church and be faithful. You know, we ought to quit our talking, quit our sleeping, and quit our nonchalant attitude. If I could take church or leave it. You know, we ought not have that kind of attitude. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves. That means when the church doors are open, and if you're available, you're not at work somewhere, boy, you ought to be in church. You know, the greatest place for fellowship is church. You know what? I have no doubt that I can find the right kind of friends here. I'm not going to the world today or tonight for my friends. I don't have to go to the public school for my friends. I may have to go to school there, but I don't have to go to school there. I can go to the youth group in the local independent Bible-believing Faith Baptist Church and get some good friends there. I can, as an adult, as a church member, I can get my friends right here. Hey, you know, I like hanging with the men. You ladies ought to get to know some of the ladies here. Hey, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, we ought to go ahead and stop having this attitude. I can take church or leave it. Hey, come expecting something. Come and get your friends here. Open up and feast on the things of God. Boy, people come to church casually. They never leave changed. They're the ones people ask months from now, whatever happened to so-and-so? Believe me, I know what I'm talking about there. I'm talking about the ones who don't come with their sponge and decide to go ahead and dip it into the water of life and leave changed. Talk about the ones who, you know, care less whether they're there for the preaching or not, or they come and they don't ask God for anything. They don't open their mouth. They don't open their heart, if you will, and feast on the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, they're the ones that'll cause other church members to ask me, preacher, whatever happened to so-and-so? Oh, my friend, don't be coming to church casually. Stick with it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. You know, it's amazing. Some will come to church that way, but many will come changed. They'll come inspired. They'll come excited. They'll come excited about the preaching of the Word of God. You know, there's some here, and I won't name names, but there's some here that just encourage their preacher to no end. You know, they say, boy, when they come to church, it's secure. It's like their home. Boy, I love that. I like that. And by the way, not because of me and my preaching, let me tell you something. You know, there's many more people out there more eloquent than I, but I happen to be your preacher, and I'm all you got, and I'm glad that I am. But let me just stop and say this, church. Boy, you know what? You ought to be secure in the local church. And you ought to decide coming to church and leaving changed. But many, like I mentioned a moment ago, they'll come inspired and excited about the preaching. They'll go ahead and be excited about the Word of God. They'll go ahead and say, and I'm not making you say this. I want it to be from your heart. Good message, preacher. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. They may come and they may laugh a little bit in the service. And we like to laugh here at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. It's okay, we can smile, we can laugh here, but you know, maybe through the message of Holy Spirit's causing you to smile a little bit, and through the message of Holy Spirit's working on your heart, and you may cry a little bit, and that's because the God is working in the midst of your heart, and they leave more different. Why? Because they're inspired. They leave more different than how they came. Why? Because they came to Jesus, and they touched the hem of his garment. Now, I wonder if there's some certain people like this woman here, this where you have a need. You know, kind of come to church casually, and some of you just kind of come to church casually, you know, whatever the case may be. And I'm glad you're here, but boy, I want to challenge you. Why don't you make church more meaningful to you? But you know, there's some here today that the reason why you leave inspired is because you reach out. And you... On a regular basis, you come forward at an invitation. What are you doing at that invitation? You're reaching out to Jesus, him, saying, God, please change me. God, please fulfill this need in my life. Please, God, help me. Oh, God, please do something in my life. What are you doing? You're touching the hem of his garment. You know, Acts chapter 2, let me just read a couple verses there. I love this passage. Of course, it's talking about the early church. You know, these people, they came curious that day. I'm talking about the day of Pentecost. Many, I'm sure, came curious, wondering what's going on. Big revival meeting. It started out that way, if you will. But you know what? These same people, many left changed. They got saved. They were baptized. And the Bible says they continued in the preaching of the doctrine. Let me read a few verses. Acts chapter 2. Talking about the church now. Talking about the first church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, and after everything had happened, you know, the Peter got up and he preached. You can just take time. A long chapter talks about the whole day and how the Holy Ghost worked and spoke to people in their own tongue. And many people's hearts were pierced and lives to change. People were saved that day, and as a result of them getting saved, after you get saved, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word, that means they got saved, they were baptized by immersion, and they got baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Hey, you mind you, this is where the first church was started. This is where the early church was started right here. And they heard the word of God, and many went ahead and stayed behind. They continued in the doctrine of the apostles. They continued preaching the word of God. They went out and they told people about Jesus. They continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and house to house did eat their meat and with gladness and singleness of heart praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, let me tell you something. These people, you know what? There was a change in their life. Boy, they went to church one day. They never heard of what was going on. Some of them didn't even know. Couldn't even speak in the same tongue that Peter. But the Holy Ghost came and they heard the gospel in their own tongue. And many people came to church that day and they left changed. They were saved and they were baptized, and the Bible says they continued on. They didn't go ahead and quit. They didn't go ahead and say, hey, well, you know, the day of Pentecost is all over. No, the day of Pentecost still went day after day after day after day. Hey, what I'm saying, they continued on. My friend, you continue on this morning. Don't you give up on God. Don't you quit on the church. Don't you quit reading your Bible. Don't you just casually come to Jesus. You may have a heavy burden this morning. Why don't you, maybe you haven't done this in a long time. An invitation, why don't you go ahead and maybe take your husband's hand or your wife's hand, or you come yourself, teenager, or you come yourself and say, I need a touch of hem of Jesus' garment. I want to leave differently this morning. I want to reach out. I have a need. And why don't you go ahead and lay it at Jesus' feet? And leave change this morning. Don't let church be casual to you. There's some here today, you came, sin has weighed you down, you're without hope, you're without Jesus, you're without knowing that you can have eternal life in heaven. By the way, it'll be your choice if you want to leave different than the way you came. It's your choice. I plead with you this morning, if you're not saved, why don't you reach out and touch Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. And when you get saved, the Bible says it will result in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know what? That's the fruits of the Spirit. You know what? You go ahead and get saved. You know what? You'll be filled with love. You'll be filled with some joy. You'll be filled with long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And you know what? God will go ahead and give you the fruits of the Spirit. It'll bring you a joy that you never thought you could ever receive when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Unsaved friend, I plead with you, leave differently than you came. Leave knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Today you can know for sure you're saved. You can know you're on your way to heaven. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you're a child of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You can know that you have a home in heaven. All you have to do is just reach out to him. You know what? Maybe you got to fight the old devil back. You know, let me tell you something. If there is anybody that the devil's trying to resist this morning, is that unsaved person. He doesn't want anybody to be saved. He doesn't want to see anybody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is, hell, by the way, was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. It's not created for you and I. You know, the truth of the matter is, this morning, the old devil, he'd like to try to keep you from being saved. If you're not saved this morning, I plead with you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you just go ahead and fight your way through the crowd. You fight the old devil and the demons, and you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and you reach out to him this morning. Just trust him. Hey, backslidden Christian, you can know, you can have your joy back. You know, maybe you're here today and you've not been walking with God the way you should, and you've not been doing the things that you should, perhaps, and you're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You can go to a day when you receive Jesus, but the joy is gone, isn't it? One of the key fruits of the Spirit that you can have as a Christian, that the Holy Spirit gives you, is joy, and it's gone, isn't it, this morning? Your joy has been zapped, so to speak, maybe because of some sin that you've allowed in your life, or whatever the case may be. Sin may be lurking in your life, and it destroys the blessings of God for you. It destroys your testimony, backslidden one. It hurts your countenance. It hurts those around you. It hurts your preacher. You know why it hurts me when I see someone that knows better and they backslide? Because I know where it takes them. I know where it takes them. I know where that sin that they do not want to let go. No, it's mine. It's mine. I enjoy it too much. I enjoy it too much. Hey, Jesus paid for that sin. He died for that sin. Why don't you just go ahead and don't let it go ahead and grow as a cancer in your life? Why don't you this morning just drop it at Jesus' feet and say, I want to go ahead and go full bore for Jesus this morning. I want to get back on track this morning. Hey, it's a new year. Why don't you decide today, reach out to the hem, backslidden one. Reach out to him. Don't be one of those in the throng who just casually pass by him. Focus on him and let him do a work in your life. Jesus asks, who touched me? Could it be one here today who's sick? Reach out to him. Maybe one here who is broke. You spent all trying to get things right. Like this woman, she spent all that she had. She was out of money. She went to every doctor of the day, every hospital, every clinic of the day, and nobody could go ahead and do anything for her, and she was broken. But you know what the difference is between her and some of us? She knew who she could get to. And she left differently than she came. She reached out and touched him, and Jesus knew, virtue's taken out of me. Who touched me? And Peter asked, Jesus, there's many, many people here. They've been bumping into you. There's many, many people here. Why would you ask such a question? Because virtue, power's been taken out of me. And she admits it. And she says, and he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made thee whole. Let me just say this. Don't you think for a moment Jesus will do for one person and not do for you? What he did for that woman, he can do for you. Your life kind of broken down this morning, kind of falling apart this morning because of sin, because of who knows what. Maybe you're unsaved this morning. You feel like, I don't know what else to do. Hey, you know what? First of all, why don't you get saved and allow Jesus to guide you? But maybe you're a Christian. Your life is broken down a little bit. You know what? Jesus is that one. He's the, we're the clay and he's the potter, and he can go ahead and take you and fix you all up. Why don't you this morning decide to reach out and touch him and leave differently than you came? Maybe you're here today with no hope. You've done all you can do. There seems to be nothing else to do, but you can always turn to Jesus. Don't be the few, and unfortunately we're a minority, Christians are, but don't be the few who touch Jesus. Once you come to church and you're here, later on you bring your need to him and come expecting God to do something great. You know, some, we're not just casual with church. We can kind of be casual with our Bible reading. You know, the Bible says, and I'm going to just refer to this verse here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Familiar verse. But it kind of is my thought in a nutshell. It'll convey my thought, if you will, in a nutshell. The Bible says in verse number 8, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, when I read all of this, of course, Moses, let me just remind you here, Moses, just a chapter before, at the end of Deuteronomy, he dies on Mount Nebo. Moses was the man that led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. Of course, Moses, because of sin, he got mad, and he, instead of speaking to the rock in Horeb, he went ahead and struck it, and God said, because of that, God commanded him to do something, but he went against God out of anger, and he lost his ticket, if you will, to the promised land. Now, Joshua was a man that was at Moses' feet being trained. Joshua was a man to take the reins. And I'm not going to take time because of time. I can't go all the way through it, but if you read verses 1 right on through down to verse 8, I kind of see there Joshua a little bit nervous. You know, here he is. He's filling Moses' shoes. By the way, Moses was a great man of God. Yeah, he made a mistake, just like we all do. Moses, great man of God. Moses led them millions of people, and he dealt with a whole lot of things with them millions of people and so forth. Now it's Joshua's turn. And if you read there, you know what? There's a few different places that indicate to me that Joshua was a little bit nervous about his new position. But you know, the Bible says all through it there, first several verses, I'll just read a verse, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. That's what God says to him. For unto his people, this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Within two verses, he says, be courageous. You know, that tells me that Joshua, a little bit nervous. And basically what God is saying there, you know what? You want to go ahead and settle your nerves. You want wisdom, get in the book. Get in the book. Joshua, listen, don't be casual about this thing of walking with me. Don't you be casual about the word of God. You want some success. By the way, the only place that you find success in the Bible is right here, Joshua 1:8. And he says, you want success? This book of the law. God says, this book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, talking about the word of God. And if you go ahead and you meditate in it, Joshua, and you walk in it, and you live in it, and you do all that's written therein, the Bible says, I promise you, this is a promise, for then thou shalt
make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In other words, Joshua, don't be casual with the word of God. Listen, Christian, you know what? We get way too casual with the word of God. You know, we may have three or four copies in our home and so forth, and we get way too casual. The truth of the matter is, why don't you take the word of God and open it up and read it? You ought to read it. Make it an everyday part of your life. You ought to make it a goal. And you ought to make it a goal every year to read through the Bible. I make it a goal every year to read through the whole Bible, and it can be done. You get on a plan. I'm going to try to implement that plan in our church for those who want it. I have a plan right here that I use all the time, every year. Our church made it every year, and we're trying to get it in the hands of everybody with a little bit of help here. I think I can get it done, but there's a plan here. You know what? What I'm trying to get you to do, church, is I don't want you to be casual about your Bible reading. Well, you ought to get into the Word of God each and every day. It'll go ahead and teach you things. It'll give you the strength that you need. We have a lot of copies of it, but we never read it. Many have access to it. Many can go ahead and touch it. We have it. We have it in our laps right now. We come close to it. But it's not read, and it doesn't burn in our soul. You know, I loved what Dr. Tom Malone used to say. He used to say he read the Bible until it burned in his soul. He says, you know what, he wouldn't go ahead and put it down until he knew that, boy, he got something. He allowed the Word of God. He made sure. He wasn't going to put it away. He rescheduled everything. He literally said, I'm going to let it burn in my soul. Boy, you ought to allow the Word of God to be that powerful. The Word of God can change your life. Don't be casual with it. Then number three, some are casual about their prayer closet. Matthew chapter 6, very familiar verse as well, but I'm going to read it real quick and then I'll be through. Matthew chapter 6. But thou, when thou prayest, of course, Jesus is teaching how to pray here. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. A prayer closet, that's a place where it's just you and God. Let me ask you, question, Christian, do you have that place? Do you have that place? It's just you and God. Do you take time and you schedule that time, that place? I mean, I'm talking about taking the Word of God and then taking out a prayer list, and you ought to write out a prayer list, or else you get all sidetracked. You ought to write out a prayer list and write out things you're thankful for. Write out confession, God forgive me for this, and write out things you're thankful for, and just write out the many blessings and different things. And you ought to get to a prayer closet where it's just you and Him. Shut off the cell phone, shut off the TV, shut off the kids when the kids aren't around, in other words, and just in everything, and it's just you and God in a closet somewhere. Maybe it's a corner, maybe it's a living room, maybe it's a kneeling down at a sofa in a living room, maybe it's an office somewhere, maybe wherever it is, you ought to have that prayer closet. Boy, prayer changed things. The truth of the matter is, some things don't get changed in our lives simply because we don't communicate with the one who can bless us. Hey, listen, prayer is so very, very vital. We need to get alone with God. And you know, you get alone with God, what are you doing? You're reaching out and touching His garment. God, what are you doing in that prayer closet? You're presenting your need. God, I have this need. God, my wife might be sick. My husband may be sick. Please place a hedge of protection about my children. Keep them safe. God, the economy or whatever, place your need. God, I guess these bills, they're just insurmountable. God, why don't you just lay them bills out? Say, okay, God, here's my need. Here's my need. Hey, listen, you may be here today kind of casual in the Christian life. Maybe you're kind of casual with your needs. Maybe you kind of got that attitude. God can't help me. Yes, He can. Lost one today, you know what? Jesus will save you if you let Him. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You couldn't say for sure that if you were to die right now that you'd have a home in heaven. Let me tell you something, my friend. You can know before you leave this place today. You can reach out, so to speak, to the hem of His garment, and you can leave whole. You can leave differently than you came this morning. Lost one, don't you let the devil go ahead and push you away. Don't you be fearful about what anybody thinks. Around here, we get excited when people are saved. And if you're not saved this morning, why don't you this morning decide, I'm going to become a child of God. I'm gonna know for sure before I leave this place that I'm a child of God. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My friend, you know, you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning. You can know it. You can be standing on a solid foundation like your preacher is this morning and know for sure that you have a home in heaven. By the way, we don't know when life will end. Life, the Bible says, life is but a vapor. Life is so uncertain. And God forbid that this happened, but we don't know. We just don't know when life will be taken just like that. We don't know if someone may sideswipe us. We just, listen to me, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's just, that is life. And you know what? The only time that we can settle our eternal security is when we're breathing. My friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can come to know him in just a little while. Why don't you just forget about any feelings about anybody? You just step out. If you feel the Holy Spirit working on your heart and you just march out of that seat, you come down, you shake my hand, say, "Preacher, I want to be saved this morning." And we'll have somebody show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, you know what? The church will not save you. Good works will not save you. All this cannot save you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." Where's the Father? He's in heaven. And the only way that we can get to where God is when we die is only through the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. You got to understand, you're a sinner. Understand, there's a price on sin. But Jesus paid that price. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all you have to do is open your heart. Say, "Lord, come to my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, let's not be casual about it. You need to do business with God this morning, unsaved one. Why don't you this morning decide, "I'm going to get saved"? Hey, Christian, a little casual with your walk with God. Maybe you got to sharpen some things up this year. Maybe there's this petty sin that you have that you just don't want to let go of. Why don't you, after a little while, just reach out to his hem and just drop it off at the altar and say, "Okay, God." Maybe burden one this morning, you have a need. You're like that certain woman. It's heavy, it's hurting. You feel like you've gone just as far as you can go. I plead with you, my friend, church member, whoever it may be. Why don't you bring that need to the altar later? Say, "Okay, God, I need some reprieve. I need some help. I know you're my friend. You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're a friend that never leaves me or forsakes me. And God, I need you." Whatever it is, why don't you come and do business with him? Is your Bible reading a little casual? I just kind of glance through it when I have a chance. Why don't you take time and read the Bible this year? Your church attendance, maybe just a little casual. Maybe you could make it more, whatever the case may be. Why don't you decide, "I'm going to do something about that this year"? Maybe you're here, you're not saved. Why don't you decide, "Today's the day I'm going to be saved"? Maybe you've come to church, you've been saved, but it's been a long time that you allowed the Holy Spirit of God to do something in your heart. Why don't you just decide, "I'm going to come to church from now on, and I'm going to leave differently." The whole gist of this story is, that's what happened to this woman. Determination, sickly, probably very weak, a throng of people, many different circumstances. Probably others had some similar needs. But this woman, she had a physical need. She was broken financially, everything. And she was determined to get to Jesus. And the only one of that throng that left differently was this woman because of her faith. Jesus said, "Thy faith have made thee whole." How about you this morning, our Heavenly Father? Very simple thought, I know, very practical thought, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your word. God, the very best I could, with your help, we've preached your word. We've taken this message, and we've conveyed it. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to fall upon every heart, whatever needs to be done this morning. Maybe in a life of a Christian that's backslidden, maybe they need to get some things right. Boy, today would be a good day to deal with that. Maybe there's a Christian here, they're strong, they know for sure they're on their way to heaven, they're in church, they read the Word of God, but they've got a need. It's just so heavy. I pray, dear God, that whatever it is, they'll just lay it out and they'll reach out and touch you. Maybe there's an unsaved one here. They don't know Jesus as Savior. I pray, dear God, that before they leave, they'll know for sure that they have a home in heaven. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. But God spoke to my heart this morning. I will not call you by name, but God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you please pray for me? That's me. Here's my hand. God spoke to my heart. That's me, preacher. Boy, that's me. Boy, the devil's trying to push me away right now. He's trying to do everything he can, but the Holy Spirit, he did something this morning. That's me. Keep your hands up. You may put your hands down. Okay, maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to. I don't want to die and go to that devil's hell, and that's what the Bible says. There's a heaven and there's a hell. I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you please pray with me about this matter? I will not call you by your name, but I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but would you please pray with me? Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Anybody at all? I don't know Jesus this morning, but I want to know him. There you go. Okay. There you go. Anybody else? That's me. I want to know Jesus as my Savior this morning. There you go. Anybody else? I want to know Jesus. Hey, I want to just, you may put your hand down. I just want to plead with you. If you're like that this morning, don't you worry about anything that's surrounding you. If you need to move and get this matter settled about your salvation, you just, after a while, leave your seat when the music plays, shake my hand, and I'll have somebody show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're a child of God. I plead with you this morning, don't leave like that this morning. There's a couple of you who raised your hand. Why don't you deal with that? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. I ask you, Lord, just to, Holy Spirit, you do your work in this invitation. Holy Spirit, save people. Holy Spirit, salvage people. Holy Spirit, strengthen people this morning. Whatever needs to be done, may your work be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The music in just a moment is going to play, I Surrender All. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. Maybe you need to make way to an altar here after a while, and you lay that need out. Backslidden one, maybe there's some sin you need to lay out. Hey, if you're unsaved this morning, you just step out of that seat. We will rejoice with you, and we'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Won't you do that? The music's going to play, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. You lost this morning. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Just step out this morning. I'll shake your hand and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. That's it. That's it. That's it. I want to know this morning. I want to be saved. I want to become a child of God. I got some sin. Maybe you're a Christian. I got some sin in my life this morning. That's it. Who touched me? That was the question. And this lady, she came with a need. She was the one that touched Jesus. Because she touched him, it changed her life completely. How about you this morning, my friend? Need to reach out to Jesus this morning? Won't you do that? Still work being done here at the altar. Altar's still open. Till all the work is done, this altar will be open. That's it. Anybody? I surrender all.
altar's still open. Keep it going. Music's still playing. Brother Robles, come up and close in prayer for us. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for the moving of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our salvation. And that, Father, thank you for those that reached and touched for the hem of your garment. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to keep this message in mind, how important it is that no matter what the conflict, no matter what it may be, to reach out to you. You are the answer. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with us now. Help us to have a great day. Bring us again to this place this evening. Oh, Lord, that to this place, to that once again we may be challenged by your word. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Amen.